Welcome to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. Whether your family has been on this journey for years or you're just getting started, we're here to support and encourage you along the way. And now your hosts, Lynette Ezell and Tara Melber.
So Lynette, you and I know that the greatest need in foster care is always more families.
Absolutely.
Jesus calls us to step into the hard and be a living, breathing, walking example of his love and care. He's very concerned about the young souls in desperate need.
He is.
And he commands us to care for them.
Yeah.
And what we're really seeing is this call is being embraced by the 20-somethings in the church.
That's right. I'm always amazed when I do trainings and I see these young couples come among all these 40 and 50-year-old couples, and they place their yes on the table. And I hear over and over from these Gen Z couples that we have an extra bedroom and we're just trusting God to fill it. They amaze me. They really do. I met such a couple about a year ago, and I was so encouraged by Jess and Aaron's faith and their compassion to help children in their own community. Jessica's been married to Aaron for 6 years, and they share life with their super dog, Freeman, or Morgan Freeman. Yeah.
That's so funny.
I know. They enjoy traveling and adventuring together, and you can be around them, Tara, just a few minutes, and you will quickly pick up that Jess and Aaron are truly best friends. And they share the importance of dating your spouse through their ABCs of dating on her Instagram account.
That's amazing. And they're also authors.
They
authored a children's book in 2015 called Frank the Chair Visits Kansas. And in 2018, Jess released her first book called Type 1 Life, A Roadmap for Parents of Children with Newly Diagnosed Type 1 Diabetes. And both of those are available on Amazon, but it's pretty amazing.
Oh, it is. But what we really want you to know about Jess Freeman is that she and Aaron, these adorable 20-somethings, took their first foster placement this year. And I'm not going to say anymore. I'm going to let Jess tell
that. Sounds great. So welcome, Jess. We're glad to have you.
Yes, of course. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, thanks. We would really love for you to just share your foster journey and how, and tell us a little bit about your first placement.
Yeah. So if you ask Aaron why we started fostering, he will always tell you it's because of the show This Is Us.
Oh my word. That's a cry fest every week.
Yes, every single week. But really, we started considering foster care about 2 years ago, and then we just kind of pushed the idea aside. We were like, I don't know, are we too young to do that? Like, do we know what we're doing? And then last summer, we moved into a new house, and we now have 3 spare bedrooms and no biological kids. And a lot of our friends were like joking all the time after we moved, oh, well, God will do something to fill those rooms. And eventually, and by eventually, I mean about a month or two after we moved in, you know, Aaron and I were talking, and it was like, well, you know, we do need to be good stewards of what God has given us in this house. And so maybe we should consider foster care again. And shortly after that conversation, we got an email from the church, you know, hey, there's a fostering orientation coming up. And I was like,
well, isn't that just like the Lord?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So we went to that, decided, okay, we're going to do this, and went to the training, which we got to have Lynette as one of our teachers. So that was awesome. And got our house ready, and we were approved and everything in 2 months.
From
wow, Jess, wow.
Yeah, from orientation to approval was 2 months. So we got approved January 3rd, and then our first placement, who we call Munchkin, came to our house January 31st.
Wow.
And so she's been with us for 4 months, and it has definitely been a huge learning experience and a roller coaster. And I've reached out to Lynette a few times, like, I need you to pray for me.
Well,
I don't know what we're doing.
Everyone, I'm sure, would assume that because you don't have biological children, that your first placement would be an infant, but that wasn't the case.
No. And we intentionally chose to have our age range be like grade school level. We were not really interested in babies, and we feel too young to take on teens right now because it's like we might be just like an older sister, older brother mm-hmm. kind of vibe. So we were like, let's do grade school. And then we found out that grade school kids have some of the highest needs because right. so many people want to take in infants. So we were like, okay, well, perfect. If that's a really high need in our area, then that's what we'll stick with. So well, she's 5 years old and all girl, all sass.
She is. She is. I love just the little things you share about her. You know, when she first came, when Munchkin first came in the home, you know, we trained you. You went through all that process, 2 months of, you know, getting everything together. But there had to be surprises. And so here you guys are in your 20s and you take this five-year-old. What are some things you remember just kind of, this wasn't in the book kind of thing, you know?
I mean, everything. Yeah. we are not the other kind of newness. I mean, we don't really have, we're not around kids a lot. We have nieces and nephews, but they live in a different state, so we don't see them often. So there was just a lot. Everything was new. I mean, I remember being like, I mean, how much food do we feed her? Like,
right.
If she's still hungry, like, do we give her more food? Or like, am I supposed to, I don't know. Do I use this? Do I do that? And so there was a lot of learning and she is African American. And so that's learning how to handle her hair. And so I reached out to some friends and was like, I need your help. Like, I'm not ashamed. I don't know what I'm doing.
I love it.
Please tell me, like, what, make me a list. I will go to Target and write it down and like buy everything you tell me to buy and I will do what you tell me to do. It was just a lot of learning. There was, I mean, I can't even think of certain specific situations because everything has been like, is this normal?
Right.
Or is this normal 5-year-old behavior or is this trauma? Is this her personality or is this a result of her being moved? So we just have been winging it, basically.
Yeah, and the answer would be both.
Yes.
Yes.
And I love that you said, I'm not ashamed. And not just about hair, but in anything, in any parenting question, often we have to just really swallow our pride and say, we really don't have it together. I honestly don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to seek out people who are doing it well, and I'm going to soak it in.
And that means community.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It really does.
So what kind of support have you had? Have you had great, you know, family support, church support? How have you sought that out?
Yeah. So the biggest thing that I've done is I created a Facebook group for any friends and family who wanted to like be alongside of us during this journey. And so I will post in the Facebook group just like funny little quotes that she says, but I'll also, there's several times that I've posted and been like, she had a major meltdown tonight and I had to literally rock her to sleep. And she's like a 45-pound 5-year-old. Like, she's tall. She's not easy to, like, hold and rock. And there were several times that people would say, like, well, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? And maybe you, like, I remember in the first week, one of our friends pointed out something about the tantrums. And we realized anytime we mentioned anything about the next day, whether it was good or bad, like, we're going to the park tomorrow, you're going to school tomorrow, it really wreaked havoc. It either made her too excited or too anxious. And having that outside perspective to point that out was really helpful. So first there was the Facebook group, and then our church also has a ministry where they connect volunteers like respite family and mentors. So we have a supporting mentor who has done meals and babysat. And we also have a few friends who babysat for us a few other times. It's just been a large kind of community of people helping us a lot virtually, just moral support, advice, parenting tips, that kind of stuff. So that's been really, really crucial.
That is so good. And you know, when we have kids that have come from difficult situations that we're loving, we really do have to put on our detective hat and sort of, you know, write things down. And when these big behaviors come, to try to find a pattern so that we can see what the meaning is behind the behavior. So just reaching out like that on your part was just so very wonderful. And the fact that people are coming alongside and helping you along the way is so necessary when we're walking these journeys.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, you shared about Mother's Day, and that really, really caught my attention. And Munchkin came home with a little craft, and I know that she's really struggled with wanting to see her birth mom. Did you expect that to be so severe?
I mean, in some ways I did, because she's a five-year-old, and I think that sometimes has grounded me in a way, because she does have a lot of behaviors and meltdowns, and I just have to remind myself sometimes when she's like, who's my mommy? Or why do I have three mommies? And I'm like, looking past all the behaviors, she's just a five-year-old who wants her mom. That's at the end of the day. Like, yes, there's a lot of other stuff, but she didn't ask for this, and she just wants her mom. And that has been a struggle, partly because she really struggles to voice her emotions or her thoughts. A lot of the time she can't really articulate why she's feeling a certain way. Most of the time when she starts to get angry about something, we'll be like, why did you throw that? Why did you stomp away? You know, whatever. And she'll be like, well, I don't like this house. And most of the time I'm like, well, I think you're just mad because you lost your Barbie doll or you didn't want to like go put your clothes away or something like that. But I know deep down, she also really does miss her mom. And so, it was interesting because I'm in some Facebook groups with other foster parents, and a lot of those kids, yes, that has also been a huge help. But I mean, so many of stories I've heard of kids, they instantly call their new foster parents mom and dad, and that was not our experience. Munchkin does not call us mom and dad, and which is fine. That's totally fine. We want her to be comfortable calling us whatever, but it just was like, well, it seems that some kids adjust better and like just settle in faster than she did. So that was also another kind of thing we have had to work through.
When kids come into situations like that, they really do experience things in such different ways. And I think that we really do always have to look for the meaning behind the behavior. And even children who seem as though they've settled in,
that's right,
they deep within them, they're not. Mm-hmm. It is a difference between, you know that they're safe and in a loving environment and that they're going to be protected, but they don't feel safe. It's not a cognitive thought. It's an internal feeling of not feeling safe, even though it logically doesn't make any sense. And oftentimes that, you know, will show itself in crazy behaviors or flipping out, like not just a five-year-old fit, but flipping out even more because there's all this deep internal stuff going on and it just happens to show because she can't find her Barbie.
Right.
So knowing that you're looking for people to help, you're looking for respite, you're doing a lot of self-care and taking care of your marriage, and seeking out mentors is so important because the fostering journey really is difficult and it's really very isolating. It can be really isolating if you let it be, but you've done a great job in really reaching out and seeking help.
Yeah. And I love that the ABCs of dating, like you and Aaron are still dating one another through this because you're a team.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. That has been, we did, you know, slack off a little bit on the date nights, especially in that first month or two.
Yeah. It's understandable. Right.
But then I realized like, oh my gosh, we have not like spent time alone and like connected, and I can feel it and we need a break. And so it was just, I'm like, we have to keep making this a priority, in this season. And so, yeah, the ABCs has made it easy and fun just go through the alphabet and picking different
dates. I'm going to be watching for the X, Y, Z.
It's tough. Yeah. it's really important for us to stay as a team because we are very much, that's been one really easy part of this process is learning how well we work together and balance each other out. Like if he's feeling really frustrated, then it seems like all of a sudden I'm like, no, I can handle it. It's fine. Like I'll handle the meltdown. You stay downstairs and vice versa. So it's been a really good balance and, you know, giving each other space as well. Like Aaron early on was like, you need to find something to recharge yourself and self-care. And so he was like, how about Saturday mornings you take to yourself? I will hang out with Munchkin. We'll go get groceries and go to the park, whatever. We'll figure it out. And you go walk around Target or get a pedicure, you know, whatever you want to do just to have recharge time by yourself. Because I'm an introvert, so having alone time is crucial for me to recharge.
I just think that's a great idea. Erin was so wise to say, I'm going to help you see what you need to do to take care of you. Because, you know, for me, if we have a hard day on Thursday, Wednesday or Thursday, if I know Saturday morning's coming,
I can handle it.
I can make it.
Absolutely.
Yep. And you that has it. Been the thought process several weeks.
That's great. Hey, Jess, how has your perspective and your walk with the Lord been challenged or changed in this process?
Oh my gosh. So in so many ways, but I mean, just in this very last week or two, I feel like God has really been teaching me a big lesson. And if I rewind to back to last year when we signed up, we originally were actually going to start as a respite family. We were like, we'll just ease our way in, you know, since we don't really have experience with this. And then actually at the training with Lynette, something switched and we were like, we should foster. Like we didn't, to be honest, we didn't feel like doing respite was quote unquote enough. And like we were capable of so much more and we could do more. And both of us, I should also add, are very like overachiever personality.
You think? You've written two books together.
And you're fostering and you're in your 20s.
Yes. And both working full time.
Yes. Yes. And so we, after that training, we decided, you know what? No, we're not going to foster. We're not going to respite. We are going to foster. And now that we're coming to the end of our first placement, Munchkin will be going home soon. We are considering switching back to respite. And that has been a struggle because we're still kind of like, but is it enough? And is this what, you know, are we being selfish and not wanting to foster, or, you know, what do we need to do? And I think God has been reminding me that we don't always have to do the biggest and best things in life to honor him.
Oh, that's good.
He still uses us in those smaller moments, and not that respite is any less. I mean, yes, it's less involved. You're not there day to day raising the child, but having been on this side in as the foster family, I now know how impactful and important the respite families are to help sustain the foster family.
Yeah, because it's like the Saturday morning's coming. The same thing with respite. Yes. You know that backup is coming. Jess, what would you say to other Gen Z couples that, I really like that, Gen Z. No, I am not in that. That is not my generation. But what would you say to other couples who are considering doing respite or foster care that maybe are a little fearful or just don't know how to put the pieces together? Or the first step, I guess, to take, what would you say to them?
I would say, I just want to remind them that no matter how imperfectly we might parent these kids, because I know we have not been perfect, we can still show up and show them the love of God. If nothing else, if Munchkin has learned nothing else, I hope she has been shown the love of God through us and through going to our church. And I also have to remind myself, before they are their parents' kids, before they are quote unquote our kids, they belong to God.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And so it's just, you know, at the end of the day, like I said earlier, they didn't ask for this life and they are just kids who want their mommy and daddy back. But for a season, they just need a safe and loving home.
Yeah, I love what you said. You had written, you said, a child whose family is broken, gone, or dangerously dysfunctional needs to draw from a different well.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
That's really, really good. What are some things you and Erin have done to point her to Jesus?
We have prayed with her. Every night we pray with her. Like I said, we go to church, obviously, and she gets to go to the kids' environment, which she loves. our supporting mentor actually goes to our church as well, like I mentioned. So she gets to see her and she also pours into her. And then, you know, when she's, you know, lying to us or acting a certain way, we're like, this is not how God wants you to act. This is not how we act in this house. and that kind of stuff. And it's been really cool, just some conversations, and this is probably just normal 5-year-olds pulling out random questions, but there's been so many times that Munchkin has been like, did God make that? Did, you know, where is God? What is God doing this? Is, did God make that? And what is heaven? And she's curious. And so we've helped, you know, answer those questions. And we have like storybook Bible that we read to her sometimes. So, you know, just reminding her that she is loved. And that's that I reminds me of something every night, right after we do prayers and I tuck her in. I say, repeat after me. And we say, God loves me. God is for me. God is with me.
Oh, I love it.
I can trust God.
There you go. Say that again, Jess, what you pray with Munchkin.
God loves me. God is for me. God is with me. I can trust God.
Oh, that's good.
That'll be something that she carries with her
that's
forever.
Right.
Those truths.
She will, because sometimes Aaron will forget if he does bedtime. She's like, you have to say the God thing.
Well, you said kids in foster care need more than foster parents. They need community. And that's what you and Aaron are doing, building community around her life of other mentors or respite couples that are helping her, that are backing you guys up, that are also showing her the love of Christ.
Yes, absolutely.
And by learning even just that small little nightly ritual, will be something that she takes home and she'll want to do with birth mom. So what you're doing, though imperfect as we all are, you're pointing, you've shown her love, you've shown her what a strong marriage looks like and the importance of within a strong marriage, that that means that you take time for one another. You've taught her truths about the word and all of those little lessons have impacted her and imprinted on her, and she's going to take those home. And in whatever time frame it is when she does go home at night, you can rest assured that she's going to say, God loves me, God is with me, and I can trust him.
That's right. That's right.
Yep.
Well, we just want to encourage other couples. If you're, you know, like Jess and Aaron, Jess, I think you do have the capacity to work from home. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. And so that helps a lot. I know that Munchkin's in school, but you know, if you are, if God's tugging at your heart, just start with respite care. Not just, we so need respite families, and just take the first step toward getting trained to be a respite family.
Yep. It's really important. Like you may think, oh, but it's just meals. It's just babysitting. No, like it is very, very much needed.
It's a lifeline for foster parents.
It is a lifeline.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Jess, we're so thankful that you joined us today and shared your story. I'm sure that it's going to be an encouragement to many. And when you stand before the Lord one day and there are tons of other foster families that jumped into the fray just because of your example, you'll know that you did really well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So thanks for being with us today. We appreciate it. We'll be praying for you as Munchkin goes home and praying for her as well.
Thank you so much.
You have been listening to the Adopting and Fostering Home, a resource of the North American Mission Board. For more information about today's podcast and other relevant resources, visit sendrelief.org.